This summer, the world's best tennis players are coming back to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Open returns August 8th through the 23rd. Bigger than ever, with new fan spaces, incredible food, drinks, and entertainment all in one place. Voted Tournament of the Year by the players themselves. Community Weekend starts August 8th. Finals weekend, August 22nd and 23rd. Get your tickets now at CincinnatiOpen.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Darren, 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 Darren.
Hello, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and good night. Welcome back. It is My Mate Bought a Toaster. Tom Price speaking. Also, Toaster.
I'm
just sort of trying out some riffing on some jingles.
Bought a toaster,
Sam Baines, hi,
hello.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, all right.
Great.
Didn't buy a toaster.
You sound a bit chirpy now, because just before we started recording, our guest today, the wonderful Wendy Wason.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Hi.
Just
lovely
said
to
that,
be here.
Well, it's very nice to have you here. I particularly enjoyed the fact that you just told Samantha Baines that she sounds a bit meh.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's made her up a game because she already sounds happier. She does already sound happier.
I didn't say I just said Parisian. You sounded Parisian.
I'm making a real effort to sound chirpy.
I think there is something quite Parisian about Samantha Baines. If you had to have a city that you were from, where you're not actually from.
Oh, so you are a city.
You are a city, but it can't be your home city. So
Paris is probably, because it's that sort of bougie, cool, without even trying,
yeah,
and sort of
croissants.
Borderline grumpy, and yet not grumpy.
With red lipstick.
What about you, Wendy Wason? Which city in the world would you come from, not your actual home city?
I'm thinking Melbourne.
Melbourne, nice.
Oh, I would have gone California for you.
Oh, really? I feel so. I do a lot of yoga. I'm quite sort of yogi, but yeah. I'm not like sort of. I've got a weird thing like where I'm into sort of witchy woo woo,
yeah.
But I like science as well.
Sames.
So I'm kind of.
I think California works quite well for that.
Oh,
California,
really?
Yeah, they've got witchy woo, but they're quite into their science as well.
California.
I will want a scientific explanation, but I'll burn Palo Santo together.
Lovely.
I would suggest mine. Thanks for asking.
Oh, sorry.
Is Berlin.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Why Berlin?
Because I look sort of pasty, and like I live in a northern European climate, and I've eaten a lot of sausages and sort of ale, and that's what that feels like.
I'd go a bit more Dutch with
you.
Yeah,
I'd go a bit more. You look like, healthier than you say that
do
you
think
are.
So?
Yeah.
Thank
oh,
you
no,
so
I was going to say because okay, I feel like I can like poke your face. Like it's more doughy in that way.
Have I got a doughy face?
Not fat.
Right.
Just sort of like springy.
Like a soft pretzel.
I feel like people from Berlin, no offence, mm-hmm, don't have springy faces.
Right.
Where, Dutch people.
I've got a story about a friend of mine house sat for someone and came home drunk from the pub one night and said, "Look, mate, I'm really, really sorry. I found your cocaine stash and I took your coke. I'm really, really sorry." And my mate was like, my coke? Where'd you find my coke? And if it's on the box in the mantelpiece. He said, "That wasn't my coke. That was my bit of the Berlin Wall."
No.
He crushed it up and snorted it.
He snorted the Berlin Wall. Wow.
That's amazing.
I wonder what sort of high you get from that.
How drunk do you have to be to snort stone and think it's cocaine?
Wow. That's quite... He snorted history.
I've never seen cocaine come in a sort of brick form.
Neither have I.
That's why they got,
not that I've seen a
I've
lot of
cocaine.
I've
only ever seen it in powder.
That's why they got David Hasselhoff over there. David, get rid of Zivor for us, please. Yeah, sure, no problem. Okay, listen, we need to start this.
Sorry.
Wendy Wason, thanks for joining us on My Mate Bought a Toaster. It's time for us to head back into the past. We have logged into your Amazon account. You didn't realise we were going to do it live.
No, I didn't even do it live.
We don't prepare it.
You were going to just sort of ask me what I'd bought. And
I
was going to go, here's something vaguely interesting. But it's not interesting.
We're going back to January 2008.
Oh, fuck.
That's when you started.
2008?
Well, yeah.
Is that when I joined Amazon?
Which is quite late by our standards, isn't it, Sam?
Yeah.
Usually we get...
1999.
Yeah, Matt Green and his purchasing of things in 1999 about books about Martin Amis. Well, you're back in 2008. Where were you in 2008?
I was a divorcee. I just met my husband.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, God only knows. I was a divorcee with two children, two small children.
Wow, okay. So, possibly a tough time. time, fair to say.
Yeah, quite a tough time.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, you're clearly taking out the tough time, buying some great books, lots of books.
Oh,
obviously,
really?
That's your go-to therapy. Also, beaucoup de flics français aussi. Mon oncle, Monsieur Hulot's Holiday.
I'm a big fan of Jacques Tati. Do you know Jacques Tati?
Jacques Tati, he's the actor in all of these films. He's the thing that holds this thing together. Yes. Tell us about Jacques. You spent £55 on Jacques Tati films.
I love Jacques Tati. He is a French sort of clown.
Yeah.
He does these beautifully observed moments of magic in film, where every time you watch one of his films, you spot something that you missed. Yeah. And I've been watching Jacques Tati since I was really young.
How come? Did your parents make
My
you watch?
My dad loves Jacques Tati. He was a big fan of Monty Python, and he told me that Monty Python, whether he's right or wrong, was inspired quite a lot by Jacques Tati.
Oh, really?
Jacques Tati does a great thing called, it's a film about sports classes where he mimes every sport, but also with the sort of foibles of each sport, and it's just gorgeously observed.
Nice.
And I'm a big fan of Jacques Tati.
So if you don't know, Jacques Tati, born Jacques Tati Chef.
Jacques Tati Chef.
Born on the 9th of October 1907, died on the 5th of November 1982, was a French mime, filmmaker, actor and screenwriter. Throughout his long career, he worked as a comic actor, writer and director. In a poll conducted by Entertainment Weekly on the greatest movie directors, Tati was voted 46th greatest of all time.
Not bad. I'll take that. You're in the top half
top
there,
50.
Mate. You've done well there.
Mon Oncle is your entry-level Jacques Tati film. It's about an uncle who lives in the old part of town, and his sister has a modern house in the 60s with all the mod cons, and he goes round to her house, and he's just bamboozled by it's an automatic garage door.
Nice.
And there's a great thing where he like opens a cupboard and a jug falls out, and he's like, and the jug bounces because it's plastic, and he bounces the jug and it's amazing, and he bounces the jug and he takes a glass out and he smashes it on the floor.
Yes.
It's just that beautiful sort of all my kids have grown up watching Jacques Tati because it's that beautiful, gentle humour, but it's having a go.
Jacques Tati, Alex et
Alot. Also, I feel like I could
say it well,
though,
don't I?
No, I like
Jacques
it. Tati. Also, what I'm quite interested in is that you said that you were divorced, or you just met your husband, and you bought the book, Things I Wish My Mother Had Told Me, Lessons in Grace and Elegance. Was that to help with the...
There might be a bit of mother issues going on here. There's a few books that I've bought a book a few times on Amazon. I'm sitting here, I'm like, oh fuck.
Yeah. This is the moment we live for every time we do this show.
So I have a few issues with my mother.
Great.
And I don't want to pass them on to my daughter. So if I read a recommendation about a book that, and I kind of think we're all works in progress and we all have a duty to pull our socks up and get on with it and deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I get to advice, I don't remember that book though. Did
Lessons
I send it to
in
me?
Grace and Elegance. I thought it was to help with the dating, wooing process.
I didn't date. I went out and got drunk and then met my husband about 9 months after I split up from my ex. And I said to him, mate, I am the walking wounded. I'm going through a divorce. You don't want to know. He was 23. I was 35. And
23.
Turns out that's catnip to 23-year-olds.
Yeah, they love
like,
that.
Can't we just meet up and fuck and then that be it and we don't have to date? Turns out, who'd have thunk?
Wow. Okay, great.
Taking down so many tips.
Yeah, it's amazing. That's maybe that should be in the postscript, the things I wish my mother had told me. Just meet up and fuck. Just come find some 23-year-olds. Good, so French films and fucking 23-year-olds.
That's
it's going
not...
well so far, guys. Isn't it?
It's not a design
I mean, ironically,
for life.
You've then gone for, on the 5th of July, Back to the Future, the trilogy, featuring Michael Fox going back in time and nearly fucking his mother. It was very similar stuff. You've really got mother issues.
I bought that on the 5th of July, so my husband is a big fan of Back to the Future, so I must have bought it to watch Back to the Future with him. I don't recall this. So that was 2008.
To celebrate American Independence.
He's a huge fan of Back to the Future. He loved it. At one point, we ended up owning a DeLorean until we discovered that the fucking joke in Back to the Future is that DeLoreans don't go.
Hang on, you bought a DeLorean in real life?
We bought a DeLorean in real life.
With the flappy...
with the gull wing doors.
What? No.
We sold it last year because the thing doesn't go.
No.
And every time it breaks down on Holloway Road, people will be like, wait till that thing gets to 60. Oh, shut up. Pushing it along the road. Going very funny.
Oh my God.
Also,
have you tried pouring litter into the tank?
You can't pick it up. You can't get a normal pickup truck to like a because it's got a wider wheelbase.
Yeah.
So you have to get a specialised...
So what you're saying is the DeLorean is not a practical
bullshit.
Car to own.
Did you use this as like an everyday car? Like,
no,
did you
we
go...
had a family car, okay. And then we had... And also, the DeLorean drives like a car from the 1980s.
Well,
it's,
yeah.
It's just a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And then you go into the history of the DeLorean and realize that John DeLorean, so my husband's from Northern Ireland, so that was his sort of DeLorean. He was really into DeLorean. People in Northern Ireland tend to be a little bit
careful,
interested in sticking it to the man. Let's put it that way.
Okay, nice.
So John DeLorean took advantage of a few grants that were on offer to build cars.
Oh.
And so he built the DeLorean, and everyone thinks it's a design choice that they didn't paint it and it's just that steel color. No, no, they saved money on paint.
Really? So that's why it's like that.
That's why it's like that. So there's so many loopholes. Like, you think it's this classic design car, but in actual fact, when you start looking into it, you realize some dodgy guy from Northern Ireland got grants to make a car that doesn't go, and he's not even painted it.
A massive fraud, isn't it, the DeLorean? Yep. That's amazing. But surely the agony of the DeLorean is that Back to the Future, which used that car as a joke, must have done wonders for their sales.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's a killer, isn't it?
And we didn't know that it was a... Because when Marty McFly says, you made a time machine out of a DeLorean?
The joke
is, because they don't go.
Yeah.
Which I know now.
Listen for that emphasis.
Which I know now. Yeah.
Right. Shit.
Well, in case you're wondering, you cannot buy a DeLorean actual car on Amazon, but you can buy a machine, time machine DeLorean to 1/24th of the scale.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, £19.73.
I think you can buy a flux capacitor on Amazon, because I'm sure I searched it at one point.
I wonder if you could buy the pieces of a time machine on Amazon. That's a good idea. Maybe we'll put a whole one together on your account. Thanks, Wendy. You're okay to buy for that. All right, let's move on then, shall we? Now, let's go to Christmas 2008. You bought the Marbletopia Marble Run Build and Learn. Nice marble amazing. Run for the kids. How old are the kids at this point?
That might have been Santa that actually hacked my account and got onto that.
Oh, he does that. Yeah, he's got a habit of doing that.
He works for Amazon.
Yeah, he does. He does. It's more convenient than all that those deliveries he has to do.
He lives in a tax haven as well.
So. My son was a big marble fan, and... I don't know if you know this, but sometimes when you buy stuff for kids, you're like, this is going to be a piece of shit. And then sometimes it arrives and you're like, oh my God, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And by the time they've excused themselves and gone to watch Christmas movies, you're still there going, no, look at this. You put the marble in and look what happens.
Come back here.
Look at
Come
this. Back here. It's still going. It's amazing. So that was one of those.
It's true, isn't it? It is a second childhood when you have your own kid and they get... But I do it with Lego all the time. My son was asking me to play Lego this morning and I was like, yeah, okay, cool. I went and played Lego and he went off and did about six other things.
They do that. They do that.
And he came in half an hour later and he was like, have you been playing Lego all this time? And I was like, yeah, man, I've been waiting for you, but I've built a car.
And what have you built me?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Also, I didn't grow up liking Lego and I feel like I've got two sons now. I feel like I am regularly exposed to sort of mini... IKEA building shit.
Yeah.
Where you have to follow step 1 through 6, and if you fuck up step 2, that is game over and you can't
have
figure
to follow
out.
The rules. It's a metaphor for life. Do what the man tells you.
I hate it.
That's brilliant.
Well, lots of people agree that it is a great marble game. Squinky Mum.
Oh, yeah. How is Squinky these days? I've not heard from her for ages.
Oh, she's doing really well.
Is she regular?
No, we've never heard of her before. We just learned the name. She says, 5 stars, we'll be playing this for years to come. Oh. I love this product. It was bought for my son's second birthday. He's fascinated by the movement of marbles. However, it certainly needs an older person on hand to put it together.
Wendy Wason is available.
Let's unpack this, okay? Because mums are notorious for bragging. So she's bought it for her 2-year-old son, who's terribly advanced. He's terribly advanced.
Oh my gosh, she's humble bragging on Amazon.
Humble bragging
That's
on
unforgivable.
Amazon review. But it needs an older person, a more patient mother like myself. Look how patient I am with my 2-year-old son.
Also, she said, the great thing with this is it'll last for years and years, and eventually my son will be able to put it together himself.
It won't. He'll lose the marbles within about a week.
He doesn't care anymore.
He'll swallow them.
He's moved on. He's got a PlayStation.
Oh, he did. She does say, actually, at the end, my son thought they were sweets and did try eating them.
Yeah, that is a worry.
My son ate a pound coin once.
Oh, then you'll see a very different movement.
Like a weird money box.
We have an x-ray of it just sitting in his... I took him to the hospital and there's an x-ray of him just with a... And I was like, because I didn't know what... He didn't know his coins at that point. So I had to go into my purse and I was like, point to the coin that you swallowed.
Oh my God.
And it was a pound coin. I was like, of course it was an
expensive taste.
Yeah. Why didn't you go for a 2p, you little dick?
It's bigger though, isn't it?
How did you get that out? Did it pass through?
You have to poo it out and then you have to put cling film over the toilet seat and examine. Oh, yeah.
That sounds brilliant.
You didn't just flush it.
Well, you have to make sure it's out. You have to make sure it's not in there anymore.
It's also, like you want that pound back.
Do you know what I mean? I'm from Scotland. Everything counts.
It's like a sort of financial marble run, isn't it? Yeah. Seeing where it goes, working its way through the large intestine. Yeah. Here it comes.
Brexit comes out with the shit.
My son is very
Brexit.
Advanced.
It's a massive big turd with a £1 coin in it.
Well, it's a Brexit analogy right there. Bum, bum, my man, February 2009, the power of Kabbalah. Is it Kabbalah?
Kabbalah.
Card deck, technology for the soul.
Yeah, I was really interested in that. I read Madonna's biography and she's really into... I've been doing yoga for 20 years.
Oh, so you were on the yoga bandwagon years before everyone's jumped on it now. Because it's very hot right now.
It is really... And I've done my yoga teacher training as well.
Well, you're an actor. You've got to have something to fall back on, right?
And it's a downward dog.
And it's a downward dog. Or it's a wheel.
The wheel one?
The wheel is like an old-fashioned crab, yeah. I guess is what we'd call it.
I can't lift my head off when I do that. I don't know why.
Is that when you go... You go backwards. So you're lying on your back and then you put your hands flat by your head, elbows pointing up, and then push yourself.
Do you tense your jaw when you do it?
Maybe.
Have you tried relaxing your jaw?
Why does that make a difference?
Because we've got loads of connective tissue in our bodies. Do you know when you are taking the skin off a chicken breast... And there's that weird sort of viscous membrane.
Yeah.
We've all got that in between our muscles and our skin. Wow. And it connects the whole... So there's part of sort of your body that are connected by, like, you know, sometimes if you've got pain in your lower back, it's not to do with your lower back, it's to do with your hip. It's the opposite side.
What?
And that's connective tissue.
Hence things like reflexology. You can poke the foot and things happen on your shoulder.
There's meridians throughout the body that are all connected. So if you release your jaw when you're trying to do that, sometimes it creates a space in your neck so that you can open up.
I have a very weak neck. I used to do trampolining at school and I used to do the back one.
Mm.
What's it called?
Backflip. What do you mean?
Not a backflip. You just sort of bounce off your back and stand back up again.
Yeah.
Back. Sit. No, a back one. Anyway, they banned me from doing it because I could never hold my neck still. So every time I did a back thing, my neck just like flopped forward and backwards.
Have you got a big head? Because I have neck problems and I've got a vast head. And I'm wondering if you've got... Your head looks probably. Sort of normal. It looks sort of normal size.
Doesn't look as big as yours.
No, it's huge.
But the wheel's not about your neck. The wheel's about opening up your chest. So your chest should be supporting that rather than your neck.
So are you a full-on yogi then? How often do you teach? Or do you just have the qualification?
I do maybe twice a week.
Oh, really?
But I do it every day.
So if I was going to get into yoga, because I need to, because now I'm nearly 40, all my muscles and joints are starting to really seize up.
So most yoga is for muscles.
Yeah.
For joints, I'd recommend yin yoga. They do quite a lot of sort of compressions. And then when you release it, all this lovely fluid flows in, and you hold postures for a little bit longer, so you take yourself to the edge of as far as you can go, and then you just let your body weight just relax into it, and then when you sit up again, you just feel all this sort of lubrication.
And it doesn't feel like work, it just feels like sitting in weird shapes.
So should I YouTube it, is it? Is that the best way to do it?
The best way to your teacher.
I'll teach you. I've got a yin yoga qualification. I can teach you yin yoga.
Do you teach?
Yeah. I'm thinking about doing yoga at the Actors Centre before auditions, because I think actors are so desperate to sort of sell themselves.
Yes.
They don't realise that what's their unique selling point is
their
themselves.
Body. Yeah.
And to release
and just
their
to be
jaws.
You and just like...
Yeah.
Just go in and be you.
Yeah. The problem with that is when you go in and be you, you then get rejected and you're like, shit, it's me they're rejecting.
Yeah.
But who cares?
There's
900 people who don't give me a job every fucking day. Why should I care about you?
Yeah, it's so true.
Oh my God, I want you to teach me yoga.
She's great. It's becoming a very inspirational
tour.
The swearing yogi. My friend does disco yoga. That's brilliant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Have you ever done drunk yoga? I feel like that could really take off.
I feel like it might be a little bit dangerous because have you ever gigged in a nightclub when you can see someone, I don't know about your, like the gigs I do, they sort of often they have comedy and then it turns into a nightclub later on at night, and you see people that are injured and you're like, that is going to really hurt in the morning when you're sober, mate.
But if you get hit by a car and you're drunk, normally you don't break anything. Don't try it.
Do
you
not?
You don't normally break something
because
you're relaxed.
Yeah.
Well, the more injuries, I fell down the stairs 2 weeks ago.
What?
In the morning.
How many stairs?
I fell down a flight of stairs. Honest to God, it's the fastest all my children got out of bed in their lives.
What happened?
I just slipped and lost my footing and fell down the stairs.
You know what though? Get a box full of stuff throw it down the stairs if the kids are ever late getting up.
They all jumped up and they were like, are you okay, mummy? And I was like, I might fall downstairs every day.
Yeah, this is genius.
Normally they shout at me when I'm waking them up.
But whenever you read those books about mysticism or any kind of guide to life, anything a bit self-helpy, while you're reading the book, you're like, yeah, this is, I don't know about you, but I always feel like I'm so like a sponge. Yeah. This is me. I'm changed. I'm a changed man.
This has totally got me. Yeah.
You put the book down. I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm a dick again. Yeah. I am a dick
it's
again.
Funny you say that because I had a friend who went, do you remember Fame Academy?
Mm.
So she got asked
similar
to
thing,
go on
similar
Fame,
thing.
She got asked to go on Fame Academy and she was like, well, the money's good. This is a heap of shit. I'll do it. Yeah. She said, 2 minutes in then, you're like, right, I'm going to win this. And you're up at 5 a.m. training and it's sort of that little window of, I am completely dedicated for this time that I'm in this book.
Yeah.
And now I want a pizza and I'll probably slump
yeah.
on the sofa.
Yeah. This ain't no more. I want this
ain't no more. Brian and Roger met at a support meeting for divorced men. Both are starting again.
Hello, Roger. It's Brian. Thanks for helping me move in.
Both are finding it hard.
Hello, Brian. It's Roger. Yeah, no problem about helping you move in there.
One of them is nice.
Good morning, Roger. It's Brian. I had that dream again about Carol Kirkwood.
Brian and Roger is an addictive and hilarious podcast sitcom from Dan Skinner from Angelos Epithemiou and Shooting Stars and Harry Peacock from Toast of London. Great Big Owl. Toasty, toasty, no. March 2009, you spent £16.14 on Nigel Barber's book. Do you remember what Nigel Barber wrote?
No idea.
He wrote a book called The Science of Romance, Secrets of the Sexual Brain.
Oh, I have no idea about that book at all.
You didn't read that one again.
Fascinating.
Yeah, you should read it. You've got it.
Do I
yeah.
have it? Is that, yeah. Did that go to
and
my
it's
address?
Got a really raunchy picture. Sorry yeah. to use the word raunchy for anyone.
Secrets of a Sexual
it's just
Brain.
Just two people kissing.
Yeah, it's
not
raunchy.
That raunchy.
Oh, it's in black and white as well, because obviously, famously, when you get aroused, everything becomes black and white. I get colourblind.
The joy of sex.
I get a stiffy and I'm like, I can't
see
colour anymore.
It's sort of purpley and yellow.
Yeah,
do you know what I think is really interesting about, like, when you go through a divorce and then you meet someone new, you're really determined not to, you're like, hang on, am I falling back into the same old... Am I accepting this again? So every so often you have to hit reset in your relationship. So you don't have to, you're aware that you don't want to fall into the same patterns of before.
Right.
So I wonder if I was like, hang on a minute.
Specifically, you need to sort of fuck like you've just met again. Is that what you're after here, do you think?
I don't know. I think fucking like you've just met is not really... I mean, let's not forget I was with a 24-year-old at that point.
True story.
But no, I'm intrigued. I don't remember that book.
Oh well, you bought it.
But I must read it again if I
yeah. well. The return window has closed 10 years ago now.
It.
So
shit.
Yeah.
People
yeah.
love it. H. Kelly, Mind Equals Blown.
Mm.
If this book is your first foray into the evolutionary psychology, I suggest you hold on to your hat.
Wow.
If it isn't, then you'll be delighted with the journey of insights cohesively brought together by the author. It may enrich your previous knowledge and leave you thirsting for more.
Secrets of the... I'm going to write that down and buy it again.
Whereas
Secrets
Thomas
of the sexual
says,
brain.
2 stars, incorrect facts, misguided speculation.
Oh, Thomas, you spoil sport.
Thomas just needs a good shagging, doesn't he?
Yeah, exactly. It's because he hasn't got anyone to support it for himself. Okay, very nice. So there's a book that you know you've got. Are you actually making a note on your phone now, Wendy,
yep.
to make yourself read it when you get home?
Yeah, well, no, I don't think okay. I have it.
We could just click buy it again on your Amazon.
Just make sure the kids don't open it. Okay, let's move on now to 2010. There's some good stuff in here, guys.
Really?
Yeah. You got Sylvanian Family's Meerkat Family.
That was, as far nice. As Sylvanian families go, the meerkats are top dollar.
Mm-hmm, classic. Everyone loves a meerkat. Unisex Adults Fur-Lined Joseph Trapper Hat. Nice fur-lined hat there. November 2010.
Okay.
Nice. Also, 6th of December 2010, you bought a draft excluder, but a Ooh. Stars and Stripes draft excluder.
I am really proud of that draft excluder. Do you know what I did? Which is really is really beyond my pay grade.
Go on.
I measured the fucking door. So when it arrived,
oh.
it, and I still use that draft
wow. excluder.
I'm not the kind. I am the queen of buying a beanbag size of tea bags.
Right.
Because I go, well, look quite small in the picture.
Yeah.
I measured the draft excluder, and that fucker fits in the doorway. And that, do you know what it does?
Yeah.
It keeps out drafts.
It will exclude the draft. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah. Have you written a review? Because I feel like we could write one of our reviews here. Yeah. Is that worth doing, Sam Baines?
Write a review.
Do you want to jump on there and just say, the fucker fits?
Don't put the fucker...
Can I write a review? I think I can still write a review.
It arrived, it was the perfect size,
okay,
it is heavy
stars.
Enough. It's heavy enough to block out the draft, but you can open the door without it wedging underneath it.
Oh, that's a very good balancing act.
Which is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
So it's
yeah.
like, so it, you know, but it's got enough beans in it so it doesn't disappear under the door when you pull the door open.
Mm.
We need some sort of exclamation at the beginning. What would you say it was in one
the
word?
The fucker fits.
It is... one word.
It fits.
It fits.
It fit my door.
Wow, it fits! Exclamation.
Wow, it fit. We could put a sort of innuendo in here.
Innuendos. Like
there you go.
Right, yeah, yeah, great.
A lovely length.
Nice, yeah, yeah.
Plugged up my draft.
Great, yeah, works for me.
Well, you know, I've had three children, so.
Plugged up my draft across my back door.
Plugged up my draft, a treat.
Lovely length. Plugged up.
Do you think whenever we do reviews on this show, we should always make them as innuendo ridden as possible?
Yes.
That is kind of my level of humour.
Okay, so we've got 5 stars. Wow, it fits. A lovely length, plugged up my draft, a treat, full of beans. Heavy enough to block out the draft, but you could still open the door without it becoming wedged.
Great stuff. Thank Perfect. You very much indeed. Nothing about the back door? You sure you don't want to put anything about the back door?
Wow, it fits my back door.
It fits my back door, yes!
There we go.
Are you happy for this? What do you want your name to be?
Wendy Wason.
It's just Wendy W.
Put that on, yeah.
Is that
great,
fine?
Great,
great.
That's my name.
I like the fact this podcast helps people as well. Brilliant stuff. You are listening to My Mate Bought a Toaster. Today's guest is the wonderful Wendy Wason. Samantha Baines, we are now... Let's head into 2011, okay?
God.
Yeah? All right, let's do
In
this.
A DeLorean.
There's one...
Yes, please. We might have to push it.
There is one thing I bought that I know is going to show up there and...
Oh, is it the Belly Bandit post-pregnancy tummy wrap belly band? Black
no.
medium-sized?
Hello.
Well, here's where weird thing, because I had a C-section. Mm. And you're...
Oh, sorry, I don't know why I did a noise after a C-section there.
Sexy. As we all know, carry on C-sections. and your skin, you don't go right back down to size. Your skin's sort of, if it's still big, it's pulling on the scar. So yeah. That kind of tummy stuff... helps. It
Why is it called a belly bandit?
Because it's a band that goes around your belly.
Oh.
And it sort of supports
it. Bandit suggests it's robbing you of something.
Well, you know.
Extra skin.
It's kind of like a knee brace, but for your midriff.
You put it around your scar because also if you've got toddlers and you've got a new baby, they run into your tummy and you've got... Sorry, guys.
When you say they run into your tummy,
they're just
they
the
run
same
all
height.
The way in.
They're the same height as your scar, so it's a good True. Idea to put something there that doesn't... that protects the scar.
But when you've had a C-section, you can't pick up kids, can you, for like 6 weeks? Or is it
six
longer?
6 weeks, yeah.
Because otherwise, I heard a story of someone who had, it was an operation, it wasn't a C-section, but it was on a similar area. And they told her not to do any heavy lifting and she picked up a chair and her stitches split apart and her intestines fell out.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah.
But you know what they do? So I had an emergency C-section with the first baby. Am I going to tell the story? Yeah, I'm going to tell the story.
There we go.
They said to me for my second baby, so my first baby was 9.5 pounds and I'm quite little, so she couldn't get out. And they said the next baby is smaller. So what we can do is when you go into a labour, we'll do a trial of scar and see if you can give birth naturally.
A trial of scar?
Yeah.
That sounds like a Harry Potter
book. To see
book.
If it bursts open.
Yeah. I was like, why? Can we not? So basically you go into labour and they let you do that. And then
you might split yourself open.
So you're all sitting there
in a different place other than
you know
the normal
I mean?
Place where wow. you do it.
Although frankly, I know where I'd rather have stitches, so I'll have a C-section every time. Thanks.
Mm. Whoa.
Do you know what I mean?
June 2015. Grain Brain: The Surprising Truth About Wheat, Carbs, and Sugar. Your brain's silent killers. Are you still on board with this? Even though you bought us some very nice chocolatey slices when you arrived.
I didn't eat a full bit though, did I?
You did not, but you were a sugar feeder.
I think, I'm really into nutrition. Mm. I think that we eat too many carbs and the brain, that's a really interesting book about how your brain processes carbs.
It makes you feel sluggish and awful and your brain doesn't work properly.
About pasta.
But then the brain, the things that your body can turn into sugar quickly isn't good for you. So, you know, like kale and dark green leafy vegetables are really good for you because they don't process, and like also your brain goes for the sugar as for the quick hit.
Yeah.
Whereas if you eat sort of slow release carbs like oats or that kind of thing, it's much better for you.
Yeah. This Mark Donohue was very into this.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago. He's lost so much weight. He's so thin.
He's doing the keto diet, though, isn't he? He's desperate for carbs.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah, he's not having any carbs at all.
But also, Mark Dolan didn't have to lose. He was always skinny.
He's a very skinny man. But the reason he did it is because he felt sluggish and slow. And this is what I'm saying. He felt like not all there. And I get that sometimes.
Yeah, I'd really recommend that book. It's a really, really good book.
So that is called The Grain Brain, The Surprising Truth About Wheat, Carbs and Sugar, Your Brain's Silent Killers. We're running out of time. We need to move on. No, this has been great. Look, we've only got to 2015. There's you, as usual, saying before the recording, oh, this will be really, you know, boring. It's not everything we've said. Everything we've said, Wendy, you've had magic on it. So let's come crashing into the present, Wendy, because we're running out of time.
There's loads of food on it now, isn't there?
Yeah, this is what I'm seeing. This has been a very fascinating tour around Wendy Wason. How lots of kid stuff, of course, lots of weird books and things like that. But now all of a sudden, in 2019, you're going for it with food. I barely call it food. It's all sort of nutritional stuff.
I know. But you know what? When I was doing this podcast, I went onto my Amazon site and realised that I'm paying $7.99 a month for fucking Audible, which I've never used.
Yeah.
So I cancelled that. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And it went out last month and the month before.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But you can totally claim that back on tax.
But I've still spent £8.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry. That's said in the most Scottish way possible.
At the risk of being a cliche.
So
what have I bought?
Oh, here we go. Here's a good one. Lunation Cycle, Key to the Understanding of Personality. A Key to the Understanding of Your Personality by Dane Rudger. Tell us about this. £17.
That's quite a boring book. But it's really interesting. It's about the lunar cycle.
24th of January, 2019. It's about the lunar cycle. What and how that affects your personality.
So, you know how people set New Year's resolutions? Mm-hmm. I think, and women have a period pretty much every 28 days.
Because of the moons.
Which is the lunar cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I feel like I'm... And the lunar cycle is really interesting because when it's a full moon, pubs put more... security staff on the door because people will get drunk and go weird.
What?
If you go into labour on a full moon, the chances are you won't get a room because there's so many women's waters burst on a full moon.
Terrifying.
Weird things happen in full moon. Weird,
yeah.
Yes.
So lunatic is from a full moon, all that stuff. And so I started reading about it. The more you read about it, in the same way that you're like, I am totally this person. The lunar cycle has been stayed with me because as a woman, you're really conscious of your moods around the moons for me.
Yeah.
And for different, there's a theory that if you set different intentions around a new moon, and then you sort of do things that you want to do, like farmers often plant on a new moon because it encourages growth and encourages stuff to sort of progress. So if you have things that you want to achieve, a good idea is to make that list around a new moon, and then if you do it, you've got 2 weeks till the full moon, and then you can celebrate your achievements on the full moon. But given that it's only 28 days, if you don't achieve it, you can just reset those
affirmations
like again.
It's a very positive thing to take from the lunar cycle. This is brilliant.
It's a monthly New Year's resolution, if you will.
Yeah.
Around the moon. And then there's different moons. So whether you believe in it or not, there's different moons associated with different things. So it could be relationships, it could be work, it could be home life, it could be organizing stuff, it could be tax, it could be admin. But you can, so the idea is that you set different tasks for that new moon. And then if you achieve it in 2 weeks, all well and good. And if not, there's a new moon on its way.
So do you still do that? Is that one of these self-help books that goes against what we've been saying, where you read it and you feel great, but then you forget about it as soon as you stop reading?
I think it's quite nice to be aware of it and have it in the background going on.
That's what happens with all these self-help books. It becomes sort of part of the background music. And that's a good thing, right?
I think so.
As to the orchestra.
I have tinnitus, so there's too much going on in the background music already.
Just switch that off.
And me and my family have a WhatsApp group. We're all women, me and my mum and my sister. And if we're like, I'm feeling really weird today, and my mum and my sister say the same thing, one of us will look up where it is in the moon cycle. And we're like, it's a full moon tomorrow. That's why.
But every it's time. Interesting, though, isn't it?
Yeah, because it feels like astrology, but with actual facts. You know what
also,
I mean?
Like, something to prove. Before, like, I don't know about you, but before I get a period, I sort of think it's the end of the world and everything is awful. And then you go, oh, yeah, it's my period.
Yeah.
But then I've been having a period for like 30 years, but you I feel like you sort of get a memory blank pill a week before, and you're like, "What is this?
Why do I feel?
Why
so
do I feel
weird?
So awful?
It's the same
part of your brain. It's the same thing every month.
It's the same part of your brain that forgets about having kids. You forget about all those bits from having kids, and you just kind of erase it from your brain. I tell you what's very noticeable. This is quite sweet, really. Bearing in mind when we started this, 2008. Mm-hmm. You were buying marble runs for your 2-year-olds, for your intelligent 2-year-old. And then in 2019, you bought...
That was the review.
Okay, fine. But you bought marble run for your... What, in 2008? How old was it?
2004.
Right, okay. And then in 2019, magnetic L plates.
Oh, my little girl's starting to drive.
See? See, the circle of life is all spelled out in
and
your...
And I'm guessing lots of GCSE revision books. And
yeah,
revision
all of
books.
That. And obviously a Wilson outdoor basketball. How is it? Clearly you're going to get that brand, size 5. It's perfect. Have you been taking your daughter out for driving lessons?
Yes.
How's she getting on?
She's doing well. She's really good at it. She has this teenage thing where... She doesn't like being told what to do, which is very difficult when you're teaching someone how to drive.
A teenager who doesn't like...
Can you imagine?
Okay.
So I'm like, just put it into neutral. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm like, mate, this is you don't know how to drive. I'm helping you here. Stop it, mommy. I'm trying. Put your hazard lights on. Stop showing at me, mommy. Okay, I'm helping you. I'm teaching you.
Don't they say you should never tell your children to drive?
If you have stalls, you need to put your hazards on before someone crashes into the back of you. Mm. Take it on board. Stop doing it. Well, you know.
You just need to be ready to do it.
I've spotted one of the creepiest things I've ever seen on this podcast.
Oh, amazing.
You guys probably won't think it's creepy because you're parents. On the 11th of February 2019, you bought a baby tooth box wooden child tooth keepsake organizer.
Nothing creepy about that at all.
It's super creepy.
As long as it's your own children's teeth.
Well, here's the weird thing. I thought I should keep these because I've got... I've got kids'
Can
teeth.
I describe the picture to you?
It's disgusting.
So it is a wooden box. The lid opens and you can put a picture of your child in it. And then in the bottom, it's not just like a cavity, like a normal box. There are tiny round holes. And it says like molar, canine, canine.
And you can close the box and turn it into like a skeleton.
So in
That's
my
so weird.
In my desire to organise thing, I was like, that'd be quite useful. But then it arrived and I was like, because I've got Isabella's teeth lying around. I've got Max's
lying around.
Teeth.
Just in the sitting room.
Well, all the kids lose their teeth and the tooth fairy leaves them money. And then the tooth fairy keeps the tooth. So yeah, I bought it, but I was like, when it arrived, I was like...
It's £4.52.
Do you know what, Samantha? I'm going to bring it for you. I've got it.
It is the scariest thing I've ever
seen. You can have it. I've not used it.
I don't want it.
You're going to have it now.
Thank you so much. Wendy Racer, we've run out of time. No, that's amazing. I think that's the most perfect way to finish it ever. It's just very good.
The creepy tooth box.
It's fine. As long as they're your kids, it's not the actions of a serial killer.
I still haven't used it.
If you're an adult, you could get one and keep your own teeth in them.
Yeah,
if
you could do it reverse, couldn't you? You could do it reverse.
Listen, Wendy, thank you so much.
We have
shed so much light. We've got past the draft excluder. We've lifted up the draft excluder and we've seen everything. Thank you very much, Wendy Wason. How can we find you on social medias and all that business?
You can find me on Twitter, Wendy_Wason, and on Instagram, just posting shit.
Yeah, posting shit.
I get abuse from Lusandra's because my content's really dull, apparently. It'll be like...
Screw you, Lusandra.
Post a picture of your tooth.
Yeah, I was going to say. Collection of children's teeth.
You know what? I'm going to go home and find it and post it.
Good. Sam Baines, thank you very much indeed. Tell people to write nice things on our review. We got a lovely review the other day.
Did we?
Yeah, I got a brand new review.
Did it say something nice about me?
It was about our podcast.
Yeah, well, I'm in the podcast.
Oh, are you? Some weeks. When you can be bothered to turn up. No, it was really nice. It was good.
Well, like that nice person whose name I don't know because I haven't read the review, please leave us a nice review. 5 stars, ideally. 4 if you like are being like, I don't want to give them 5 because it's too obvious that I'm in love with them.
It's got to be 5.
4 will be fine.
No, it's got to be 5.
We prefer. Let all your friends know about our podcast and like tweet about it and stuff.
Thanks, bye. Yes.
GreatBigOwl.com. Hello, I'm Jack Beaumont. I do Crime Club. In Series 1, I spoke to people like this.
Did you not kick a policeman in the head?
Yeah, that was... When was that? I was 17. Wait, was I 17 or 19? I think it might have been 19, actually.
In Series 2, I talked to people like this.
There was a paedophile with one leg. I kicked him clean out his wheelchair. About 4 of us... we battered him.
And this.
Cheated on your boyfriend to give him gonorrhea? Do you want to go there, or would you rather not?
Yeah, no, I could talk about it.
I have jingles like this. Crime Club. That's Crime Club, where strange people tell stories involving bad behaviour. New episodes out every Monday.